So tonight we're going to continue in the Bible study, like we, as we started last week, on the topic, the goodness of God. I'll just do a brief recap, and then we'll delve a bit further in what God will have us to understand and to comprehend from His Word, as the Spirit of the Lord teaches us in the name of Jesus. So last week we started by giving a biblical definition of what the goodness of God is. I remember saying that the goodness of God talks about the nature of God, talks about the personhood of God. It's what makes God who He is. When you talk about the glory of God in manifestation, it's the goodness of God that is behind it. Remember the scripture in Exodus chapter 32. Moses particularly has God that, show me your glory. Show me your glory. How many of us remember that scripture? It says, show me your glory. And God said to him particularly that I will cause my goodness to pass before you. You know, talking about the glory of the Lord. God shows him his goodness. The goodness of God is God himself. It is what makes God God. It is his conduct, it is his character, all put together in that word goodness. Some of the things that we also touched on last week were the fact that we need to come onto an understanding of what the goodness of God is. You know, we probably live around and then because of our various encounters, experiences, growing up, or things that we've been exposed to, our upbringing, our exposures, our experiences, sometimes our understanding have been battered as far as the goodness of God is concerned. Sometimes we've even come up with wrong, you know, notion as to the goodness of God. Remember I told us last week that some people will say when evil things happen, you know, it is God that is behind it. That's a wrong notion. You know, some people will say that, everything that is happening, you know, it's the handiwork of God. Like Yoruba people say that is the Amuwa Olorun. You know, these are the ways that we define God. You know, with, because of the things that we live with on a daily basis. So we highlighted the fact that it is important for us to understand what the goodness of God is. I remember saying that, number one, that the goodness of God, we know, we avail us the opportunity to remember, to cast our mind back. When we understand the goodness of God, we'll be able to remember the good things that God has been to us, the good things that God has done for us. Because as human beings, we have the tendency to forget. That is our nature. Even in our dealings with one another, we come to a point in time that we even forget the good deeds that people have done for us. You know, remember talking to somebody sometimes and we're referring to a particular thing that somebody did and absolutely, this person has forgotten completely, completely. So that is our nature. And then in our dealings with God as humans, we also have that tendency, we forget. Because momentarily, we find ourselves in certain things that we don't like, that we don't, you know, want. And that's the way this world has been, you know, put together. We go through good times and bad times. We go through moments of suffering, moments of, you know, bliss. We also experience plenty, surplus. Sometimes it is scarcity. You know, it's a blend of those issues and circumstances. And in the middle of all of these, we emerge stronger. We emerge to be who God actually wants us to be. That is the way God has said, look through the scriptures. That is the way it is. And that is the way it's going to remain. Nothing is going to change as far as that is concerned. So we come to appreciate. Psalmist says, oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who redeem our life from destruction. Who healeth us from all our diseases. Who redeem our lives like a youth. you know, he re-energizes us. We have tendency to forget all of this. We have tendency to forget the good things that God has done for us. And so when we understand his goodness, that God is goodness personified, it becomes easy for us to appreciate God. It becomes easy to appreciate God. You know, it's easy for us to thank and appreciate God when good things happen to us. When we have it all good, all rosy, all fine. But when things are bad, when things are terrible, when things are tough, will you still be bold and confident to thank God? Will you still be strong, you know, to rise in the middle of the night and shout the praise of his name, the one who secures your life? The fact that you are even coping in that challenge, you are even surviving, thriving in that challenge, is an evidence of the goodness of God. Sometimes we feel that we can do all of these things by our strength, by our calculations. You've mapped things out. You've done it well. You've done your calculations. And then you feel that you're on top of the game. No, God has a hand in it. There's a force behind it. So, secondly, we also talked about the fact that understanding the goodness of God brings us this truth about God. It avails us the truth of God. What is the truth of God? The truth of God is that God is awesome in goodness. His nature is goodness. This truth has been contended many, many times. There are falsehoods. There are lies and notions that are fighting and contending this fact. Even our faith is good news. Bible called it good news. The gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. This gospel has been contended from time immemorial. People have done all sorts of rubbish this truth and long preserved the truth that held us in his kingdom. Understanding the goodness of God, this nature of God, avails us this truth. He puts this truth at our forefront every now and then, and we behold it. And you know what truth does? Truth sets free. Truth sets free. It says, you will know the truth, and the truth will do what? Will set you free. Set us free. We live in a world that we are banded by all sorts. All sorts. Put people, put men, put women, put children in bondage. But the truth liberates. Truth sets free. Truth sets free. Who tells you that we cannot go through issues unscathed, unruffled? Who tells you that what you are going through, you cannot come to the end of it? People who lived in the Bible, they went through all sorts. Even our Lord Jesus Christ, he lived a life of trouble, of suffering. Bible says he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. But at the end of the day, scripture says that he sat at the right hand of God. And today, Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. His name has been highly exalted above every other name, every other name. He sits in glory, sits in majesty. If we have such an example of a person who has, you know, gone through all of this, he has gone through all of this, it's a perfect example for us to understand, to emulate. So you have this truth. This truth guides you. This truth helps you to remain strong in a world that is fast collapsing. This truth guides you. It keeps you. This truth gives you instruction. This truth illuminates your path. You walk through life unruffled, unscathed, because you are guided by truth. Truth that is in God. Truth that is in Christ Jesus. And then number three, we talked about the fact that understanding the goodness of God dispels the falsehood about his goodness. There is so much falsehood, like I said, in the world. And so understanding the goodness of God dispels this falsehood. You know it for a fact. Like I shared with you some testimonies. I used to tell people back then that if you press me, even if I'm dying, if you put a knife on my neck like this, there is nothing that will change the fact that God is good. I've seen it. I've experienced it. Not because things were rosy, but in the middle of darkness, I've seen the goodness of God. I've seen the goodness of God. So who can tell? Nobody can persuade me otherwise. That is what the truth of God's goodness does to us. You won't be persuaded otherwise. You get into the middle of discussion or conversation. You mix with all kinds of people, and then you see them say all sorts. All sorts. You are not moved. You are not moved. Because you are way above such mundane thoughts. Such condescending imaginations. You are way beyond all of those. The truth sets you on top. And so when you have those understanding, when those fables, when those lies, when those, nonsense are flying all around, you are not perturbed, you are not disturbed. Nothing is changing the fact that God is good. Nothing is changing that reality in your being, in your conduct, in your conversation. Every now and then, nothing, whether Nigeria is good or bad, nothing changes the reality about the goodness of God. Whether the economy is fine or not, God remains good. And his goodness is going to display fallacies and falsehood about his goodness. This understanding will dispel it. Then lastly, we talked about the fact that understanding the goodness of God empowers us. It empowers us. That is what understanding actually does. Understanding empowers. Standing empowers. And then in the middle of trouble, in the middle of challenges, what more do you need than the power that is divine? Divine power, divine ability, something beyond you, something beyond you. There's an external force that propels you. There's an external force that gives you vibes. It gives you energy. That's what gives you moves. That's what moves you. That's what drives you. It is this understanding that drives you. You set at something. Nothing is telling you that it's not going to work. Because you know that the good God who has called you has not called you to seek him in vain. That's what the Bible says. If you set your hand on something, like the scripture says, that what you have set your hand to do, you will prosper in it. The mind will not come that will it prosper. Even when doubt and fear comes, this understanding you will strengthen your heart. You are in challenges, you are in troubles, you are in, lack, you are in difficulty. You'll be able to navigate through easily. Nobody promises you that it's going to be rosy, it's going to be smooth, or it's going to be nice. It's going to be rough, yes, it's going to be rough. But through it, you're going to be toughened. Through it, you're not going to be brought down. Through it, you're going to stand strong. Going to stand strong. This message is not for Nigerians alone. This message is for humanity. What I'm talking about is not because we are in this country that we just have to have everything rough. Everywhere in the world is rough. There's competition everywhere. You leave this country, you go to UK to study, you will see when you will see yourself. I have friends there who are struggling, who are saying that they have to combine jobs with academics, some of them with families and all that. Are we not doing the same thing here? Am I not studying? Am I not doing business? Am I not finding for my family? Is it different from over there? Yeah, the environment might be different. The things that we have to cope with might be different. But the fact remains that depression is not geographical. Depression is not localized. Depression is everywhere. It's everywhere. Whether Nigeria, whether Africa, whether Europe, it is everywhere. So we need this understanding. This understanding empowers you. And then you behold Christ. With this understanding, you behold Christ like the Hebrew children beheld him in the fiery furnace. You behold Christ. And after beholding, you could beckon on him to help. In the stormy waters, like the disciples beckoned on Jesus Christ when they had to, pass to the other side, and there were storms. It seemed the ship was going to sink. Sometimes we journey through life, and it seems that we are being burned on every side. It seems that The fire is just too much. The burden is just too much. The waters is going to swallow you. Sometimes you are in stormy waters. Sometimes you are in the mud. You are in mess. Sometimes these are the things that we are grappling with. But you can behold Christ because you have an understanding. And you can beckon on him. And he's going to attend to you. Praise the living Jesus. If you believe God, shout hallelujah. Amen. So tonight we'll press a bit further in this study. And tonight we're going to begin by talking about this very, very crucial aspect of God. Talking about his goodness. I'd like us to open our Bibles. Like I said, very quickly, we're going to read by honoring God's word in Psalm 107. Psalm 107, please open your Bible if you have one with you. Psalm 107, then we'll read verse 9 to 14, I think so. Psalm 107. If you're there, please kindly rise to your feet as we read together. Read together. Psalm 107, verse 9 to 14. Praise the Lord. Bible say, give attendance to public reading till I come. We stand up to honor God's word because God has exalted his word even more than his name. We go together. 1, 2. For he satisfied the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and hire, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadows of death and break their bands in sunder. Verse 15. Oh, that men will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Hallelujah. Praise God. Please, let's be seated. Let's put our hands together for Jesus again. Amen. So tonight we're looking at Psalm 119. That's where the text was taken from, verse 68. Psalm 119, verse 68. It says, thou art good and doest good. Thou art good and doest good. You see that? They teach me thy status. This scripture portrays the nature of God again. Talking about the character of God and his conduct. Say, thou art good. That's the character of God. And do it good. Two things put together in that scripture, but we're going to take them one after the other. You see, what the Bible defines good, God's goodness, is explicit and is clear in this particular scripture. And Psalm 119 verse 68, you know, captures both when it captures it correctly when it says that he is good and he does good. That is, he is morally excellent. In all essence, God is morally excellent. He's beautiful inside out. By way of his personality, he is good. By way of his conduct, his being is good. And it is his goodness that gives meaning to everything. It is his goodness that gives meaning to everything. Think about it. God is the original definition of goodness. He is the original definition of goodness. What more can... When you are talking about goodness, what else could you pinpoint and say, this is goodness other than God? God is the original definition of goodness. And for us, you know, it gives us an opportunity to be proud of this personality, carrying him on our inside, having a relationship with him. For us, it's an advantage. For us, is a blessing for us. You know, it's a good news that we have a God that is good in conduct. We have a God that is good in conduct. There is no iota of doubt as to his goodness. It was Charles Spurgeon that wrote a piece on doubts. And he stated categorically that believers should never entertain an iota of doubt as to the goodness of God. Believers should never entertain an iota of doubt as to the goodness of God. And so for us as believers, we are to be proud that my Father is a good God. My Father is a good Father. How do you feel when your son, you know, extols this quality about you? Your daughter, your children extol this quality about you, that my Father is a good Father. My Father is a good Father. Remember when Pastor Sheila was having birthday here, and the son came to give a testimony. He said, I've not had this opportunity to tell you by way of relationship. And he said it, I can say categorically, that he's a good man. He's a good man. That is the way we are supposed to relate with our God. So we must have such understanding of our God that he is a good God. So this is his person. It comes naturally for him. God doesn't struggle to exhibit goodness. He doesn't have to, you know, learn goodness. He doesn't have to, you know, go to certain places to build these attributes. You know, even as earthly parents, we still have a lot of work to do to remain good to our wives, to our children, to people around us. As individuals, for you to earn that quality, you must have worked on yourself, or God must have worked on you. But God is not like that. Goodness comes with God naturally because he is goodness. He is goodness. God is not just good, he is goodness. It is goodness of God that gives every good thing that good definition. The goodness of God gives every good thing. You know, so exactly what Jesus Christ meant in Mark chapter 10. If you read Mark chapter 10, Mark 10 verse 18. I'm just going to paraphrase what he says. In Mark chapter 10 verse 18, you know, somebody had approached Jesus Christ to ask him questions about eternal life. And it was a strange thing in the whole region then, you know, to address somebody as such. See, and Jesus said unto him, why? Let's read from verse 17, please. From verse 17. Media, please, from verse 17. See, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled down and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? You know, in that particular region, it wasn't common for people to describe their master as good. The usual thing is just to say a master, rabbi, which means teacher. But in this instance, this particular person says, good master, good master, good master. Jesus Christ was quick to recognize and say that, why did you call me good? Why did you say that I'm Jesus said unto me, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. You know, this particular test does not reduce the fact that Jesus Christ himself as a God is also a good God. But he's giving this man an opportunity to recognize God, to come to God, because nobody comes to God except through Jesus Christ. And you know what Jesus Christ does normally is to project the image of the Father. Jesus Christ, even though being an express image of the personhood of God, will always point men to God. And so when people have that opportunity to encounter us, when people have that privilege to come close to us, they should see God in our lives. That aspect of his goodness should be projected through us. God is not going to come on earth to save anybody. God is not going to, you know, appear here physically, you know, to encounter anybody. God is going to do everything he has to do through us, through humanity. And for us that are believers, when we come into this understanding, when we come into this knowledge, and then when we imbibe this truth, then it becomes part of us. It becomes part of us. So Jesus Christ was quick to point that man, you know, to God. You know, the things that we see around us, we call about our friends, we say good friends. You know, I've just watched a good movie. I've seen the hearth. I've seen this place is a good place and all of that. We give good. We give description of things using the word good. But God is the, Him alone is goodness. Him alone is goodness. So the word good, is a word that says agathos. Agathos. It refers to what is excellent in character. Agathos. Excellent in character or constitution. It is beneficial. It is useful in its effect. So this particular side of God that is excellent, it's beneficial, it's, you know, useful in terms of constitution, in terms of makeup, in terms of who he is, who God is, as a matter of fact, is useful to humanity. Who God is beneficial to us. There is no debt, there is no stain to his goodness. That's the fact I'm trying to make. There is no dent to the goodness of God. We can still behold man and say that, everything is good about this man. But this one thing. We can still say that about us as human beings. But with God, there is no dent to this nature of his. Is good 100%. Nothing can be added to his goodness. Nothing can be removed from his goodness. Nothing is going to be done to improve upon it. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Nothing is going to be done to enhance the goodness of God. No. God is good. Inside out. Is, you know, I remember when senior pastors preached about God is good. Talking about he is intrinsically good. That's the word. I borrowed that word from. Say he's intrinsically good. Inside out, in terms of nature, in terms of everything that makes him up, is goodness. Is goodness. So I say to us this evening that God's goodness cannot be enhanced. It's not that some people will now begin to imagine that, if God had done some things, you know, maybe this perception of him will have changed. And then the world will have beheaded him. You know, everything God has done in the past, what God has done in the past testifies to his goodness. And what he has done, you know, God is not bound with time. What he has done in the past is eternal. Is eternal. Bible talks about the fact that his goodness, by sending Jesus Christ to earth to die for humanity, had long been concluded. His goodness had been manifest even before the foundation of the world. Christ had been slaughtered. Christ had been sacrificed for the salvation of humanity. So nothing can be added to the goodness of God. And so we see this side of God as, you know, revealed in that scripture that he does good. He is good, rather. That's the first part. Say, he is good. So you are good. What he does is good. In Psalms 119 verse 68, that's where we are looking at. Say, he is good. In that little statement, it's summed up. It's summed up. First of all, God himself is good. That is everything that God should be. The ideal person of God is goodness. The sum total of all perfection is of his goodness. There are no defects, no contradictions in him. And nothing can be added to his nature to make him any better. Like I said, nothing can be added to make him any better. And there is no contradiction, no dent, no error, no mistake, nothing can be pinpointed to discredit or to invalidate the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is the God that we serve. I'm proud of this God. I'm proud of this. I hope you are proud of this God. How this understanding gives you consolation. How this understanding brings you peace in your heart. How that this understanding gives you rest of mind. It calms your nerves down and it puts you in a position that you can behold God every now and then and trust Him. That is the essence of this truth and this reality. That you can rest your mind and you can behold that this is the God that I serve. He doesn't have any contradiction. He doesn't have any error. There is no mistake. There is no error as far as his nature is concerned. He's such a good God. I'm proud of Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father, because you are a good God. Then the second aspect talks about His heart. His heart. His heart. You know, we could go on and on to talk about this good God. This good God. Like somebody can stand here and say that America is a good country. I remember when my brother first talked about America, you know, he borrowed it from somebody. He said, somebody told him, actually, somebody who has been to America, you know, and then he reads about them and he said, talk of heaven on earth. That is America. He always says it. I was a small child, but the way he says it, you know, is admirable. You love it. He said, talk of America. That's talk of heaven on earth. That's America. But he has never set his foot there. He has never been there. So he can talk about America as everything. I know some of us, we are very, very vast. We can even talk about the number of states. We can particularly talk about the governors, the things that are happening in America right now. I know somebody that if I call him now, what is happening in America, he will tell you. And he has not set his foot there. He has not. I'm not sure if he has even said this in Europe. But he can tell you everything that is happening about America. So we can go on to talk about the goodness of God. Say, this God is a good God. You know, He makes the heavens and the earth. He's awesome. He's powerful. He's glorious and all of that. That won't be enough. I'm sure you agree with me. That won't be enough. But when you talk about His heart, that won't be difficult to understand. That won't be difficult to understand. I really don't blame the children of Israel. When Bible says that the children of Israel, they understand the acts of God. But Moses would understand the ways of God. I really do not blame them. Because as humans, what you can see, God told Judy by ye. You find it easy to believe, to accept, to comprehend, to relate with. And so these children of Israel, I really don't blame them. And so, first and foremost, we come to understand the acts of God by the things that He has done, by the things that we know Him to do. But how do you see this? How do we comprehend the character of God? How do we comprehend the character of God? How do we relate with this character of God when we do not come to understanding of His hearts? He said, God is love. God is love. How do we understand? Do I understand that God is love? If God has not shown love to me, and we saw that God showed love to humanity, Bible says that for God so loved the world that He did what? That He gave. He gave His only begotten Son. That was an act. Bible talks about Jesus Christ. Say, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing what? Doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. How God anointed Him. Somebody can talk about the power of Jesus Christ from now to tomorrow. But until we understand how He goes about doing good, healing all that were oppressed, it will be difficult to understand. So they will not believe unless they see signs and wonders, unless they see miracles. The Bible is replete with descriptions that point to the kindness of God. His mercy, his steadfast love, his loving kindness, like David describes it, said the loving kindness of God is better than life. Because he has seen, you can talk about life is good. Life is good. LG, say life is good. But David says life is not just good. I have seen the loving kindness of God. And it's better than life. It's better than every description and definition of life. Because I have experienced his loving kindness. I have experienced his loving kindness. You can't tell me otherwise. You can't tell me otherwise. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. It doesn't matter what I'm facing. I've experienced his loving kindness. And it's better than life to me. And so we see his generosity all abound in the scriptures. We see the generosity of God. We see how he opens his hands and he satisfies every living thing. As the Bible says, he opens his hands and satisfies every living thing. That's the act of God. That's the act of God. God is disposed to give to humanity, to give to human beings. Beyond all deserving, beyond what we deserve, beyond what we qualify for. So many things we do not deserve. So many things we do not qualify for. But because of the generosity of God that springs from his goodness, because of the benevolence of God that springs from his goodness, because of the kindness of God that springs from his goodness, because of the loving kindness of God that springs from his goodness, but because of the glorious deeds of his wonderful works to the children of men that springs from his goodness. Say, oh, that man will praise the Lord. Oh, that man will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that men will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Do you qualify among the children of men? Are you part of that description? We are all part of that description. So God is disposed. You've thought about God as generous towards you. You've thought about it before. If you have not, begin to think about it now. He's generous. He makes your face beautiful. You may not have money in your pocket. You may not have a very fat account. But he's generous to you. He has been generous to give you life. Have you ever thought about that? Can you believe that? When he looks at you with all your baggage, with all your junks, with all your mess, with all your misyans, with all your misdeeds, with everything that, you know, with every baggage that you carry, God is still generous to us. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory to Jesus. With all that I am, all that I am, all that I've ever been through, he's still generous to me. He's still generous to us. That's his heart. That's his heart. Think about that. Think about that. With all your baggage, all your hangs-ups, things that you struggle with in your personal, in your privacy, is still generous to you. Don't you think about it? Am I speaking strangely? Am I the only one feeling this way? I know how God has been good. How God has decorated this life. I know how God has picked this life from miry clay. I know God, how God has put me where I am today. You don't have to be in Nassau Rock. You don't have to be in White House. All you have to be is to be in the kingdom of God. Because in the kingdom of God, there is goodness. In the kingdom of God, there is goodness. And in the kingdom of God, there is goodness. And that goodness is for us. It's for us. And that is what we are enjoying. That goodness suffices when we need to pay bills. That goodness suffices when we need to go through tough time. That goodness suffices when we need to embark on projects and it looks like a task that it's not cannot be accomplished. That goodness of eyes, when you look at the difficulties that surrounds your life, that goodness of eyes, because that goodness brings you on top of it. That goodness helps you to accomplish it. That goodness says that when people say that you cannot make it, that goodness ensures that you make it. When people say that it is done for you, that goodness ensures that, you know, you are just starting. You are just starting. You are imagining because God is working on you. He's working on your story and he's brightening it beautifully. I believe to see that I'll see the goodness of the Lord. I'm confident as seasons change, your faithfulness remains. God of my present, right? God of my future, you write my story, you hold it all together. God of my present, God of my future, you write my story, you hold it all together. And I believe, I will see the goodness of the Lord. I'm confident, I see this change, faithfulness remains. Can you just take a pause and just pray in the Holy Ghost? Just pray in the Holy Ghost. I feel like I've not even started delving into what I have yet this evening, but my spirit just says, let's just pray in the Holy Ghost. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost. I don't have to finish this. I don't have to finish it. Rise to your feet and just pray in the Holy Ghost. And Mendo sufre kebele koshanda lagada illa la dora kambala mendo sufre hendo sufre igali jabala gashanda lagade illa tera katera gashanda lagade mimbambando sufre kibela bana inde sufre kebele bana illa lo sufre kibela koshita lagada arunde sufre kebele koshibra illa la tara katara gashinda lagade illa do sufre kebele koshinda lagada egira koshakala maruka balabade. God is writing your story, because he says in his word, for I know the thought that I think towards you, they are thought of peace and not of evil, even to give you an expected end. It springs from the goodness of God. It springs from the goodness of God. That comes also by the goodness of God. Now your expectation will not be cut short. Bible says, surely there is an hand, and the expectation of the righteous shall not be cut short. It comes also out of the goodness of God. It comes out of the goodness of God. Behold Jesus tonight. Behold the goodness of God in Jesus tonight. Behold the goodness of God in Jesus tonight. Behold the goodness of God in Jesus tonight. Arakata yagalaba. Chains are broken now. Chains are breaking now. Chains are breaking now. No more limitation. No more boundaries. You are surpassing your limits. You are going beyond your limits. The barrier that has been placed upon you, you are shifting. You are shifting. You are going above. You are going above. Nothing is holding you down. Nothing, nothing. The whole earth is filled with the goodness of God.
Alatara gataya galaba shatalagada. Ilara kalabata balaba shuvre. Indosovre kibalaba shandalagada. You all have these feet with the goodness of God. Mataya galaba shandalagade. Eleboro toroko shindalagade. Metabelebede. Ekabata balagada. Malabaraka shindalagada. Araka taraga shitalagada. Elatara gashitalagada. Malabatara gashitalagada. Makora katara gashitalagada. Metoro kosovre. Hey, is that faith? Oh, Ratai, let us rest in the fast love of the Lord. Can we sing that song as we conclude tonight? His mercy,
His mercies never come to an end.
Is free, breaks the bounds of wickedness. He does all of this so that you and I can also have an experience as documented in the scriptures. As we go tonight, I pray for us that the goodness and the mercy of the Lord shall follow us. In the name of Jesus Christ, all of the days of our lives, the goodness and the mercy of the Lord shall follow us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, precious Lord, tonight. I give you praise this evening. Blessed be your name, O God. Glory to you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory to Jesus. Amen. Shall we share the grace together? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.